Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the Friday broadcast of Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church, and I love Fridays because Friday is one day closer to Sunday. And I always remind you on a Friday broadcast, I hope you're going to come to church. I hope that you'll be in church. And if you can't make it in person, please, by all means, tune in online. If you'd like to come worship with us, we would be honored. We would be truly honored to have you come worship with us. We are there at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. I tell people we are the last church that you see before you enter North Carolina. So just go down South Battlefield Boulevard. We're in the Hickory section, Hickory Ridge Community Church. We'd love to have you come worship 9 a.m. on Sunday. We do drive-in church. 10:30, we do indoor worship. 10:30 service has the Elevate for Kids, the Youth Sunday School class. We have the nursery and the preschool and a lot of exciting things happening in our church. We have a very vibrant youth ministry that meets on Wednesday nights, meets on Sunday mornings as well. And we would love to have you come and worship with us. I think you'll find you'll feel right at home with us. As a matter of fact, if you come to the 10:30 service, just enter into the glass doors under the banner that says Welcome Home. And that's what we want for you. We want, as you come to visit us, we want you to feel like, you know what, I feel like I'm coming home when I come to Hickory Ridge Community Church. Well, today we want to talk about this matter of victory over defeat. Victory over, more specifically, self-defeat. And we've been going through just a brief series on the book of Philippians. And yesterday we talked about the power of unity. And today I want to talk to you today on the subject of the fact that we can have victory in our lives. You know, God saved us and He wants us to go and live from victory to victory to victory. And how does that happen? In today's broadcast, I want to focus on growing and not primarily winning. You will win if you grow, but as you're going through the growth process, that is more important. Even when you think about a church, I'm more worried about a church's health than I am the numerical number of people that are involved in a church, because you can have a large church, if it's not healthy, it's not a good thing. You can have a small church that is healthy and it's a good thing. So growing is what we're after, maturing, becoming more like Christ. When I think about growing in a healthy manner spiritually, I see that this growth is a result of producing the fruit of the Spirit. You know that's found in Galatians 5, and that the fruit of the Spirit, you're very familiar with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice they're the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of our efforts. We can't produce them on our own, period. And I think this is part of the maturing process, because as we tend to grow in the Lord, we have this tremendous battle that we will begin to become filled with pride. I remember one time I was in this conflict, and the people that were in this conflict, they were part of the church, and one person kept saying, "Well, you know that I'm mature, don't you? You think I'm mature, don't you?" And I kept trying to get it off that subject because I felt like they're being very self-righteous. They're thinking because they've been around for a long length of time and they have a lot of information, they know a lot of Bible verses, they're thinking that equates maturity. So I kept saying, you know what, I'm not interested in the issue of maturity right now. I'm much more interested in the issue of truth. What is the truth of what this conflict is all about? We're not making this into a power struggle where you're mature, you must be right, and you're not mature, so you must be wrong. The truth found in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are not the fruits of our efforts. These are the gifts that are given to us by the Spirit. Now, we can't not grow without these fruit of the Spirit's. We are either becoming more like Christ or we're becoming more like self. You see, Christian maturity is I'm more like Jesus. I look like Jesus. I live like Jesus. I respond like Jesus. I'm more like Jesus in all parts of my life. As we look at some verses that talk about our desperate heart cry and God's desperate prayer for us, it's this matter of intimacy in prayer. This matter of realizing that God has given us His Word and God has given us this ability to grow in our faith. As a matter of fact, here are 8 verses that I want to give to you quickly. 8 verses to encourage your growth. Now, all of these verses that I'm about to give you are all from the English Standard Version of the Bible, okay? Number one, 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child." You know, a lot of gibberish. And you remember when your kids first started talking? I always kid around with my daughter, Anne, when she first started talking. I says, I think she's speaking Swahili, right? And I could never understand what she was saying. She would talk real fast and merge her words together. And I had no idea where she learned how to talk fast, but she talked fast and nobody could understand her except those who really knew her well. So Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. What is childlike reasoning? Childlike reasoning is, it's all about me. Children are by nature selfish. But Paul says, when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. So part of growing up is I give up certain things. I relinquish certain things. When I look at the life of Christ, for example, you know, Jesus never died because his rights were violated. Jesus never said, I got my rights, right? He never said that. Now, he defended the rights of his father. And you know that scene in the temple where he drove out the money changers and he said, how dare you take my father's house of prayer and turn it into a house of commerce? And so he makes a whip and he drives the money changers out of the temple. So the first verse that we look at is 1 Corinthians 13:11. The second one is 1 Corinthians 14:20. Paul says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. So do you think a child knows he's thinking like a child? No, that changes as you grow up. Children don't realize they're thinking like children because they're children. Paul says, be infants in your evil. What does that mean? That means when it comes to the matter of evil, be innocent. Don't be involved in evil just because you've gotten older. You know, children by nature tend to be more innocent. You know, as a matter of fact, if a child dies before the age of accountability, we don't say they're saved, but they're safe. They're safe because they haven't matured to the point where they could be held liable for their sin. So they're safe. They haven't reached that age where they're accountable for their sins. How do you know a person has reached the age of accountability? Is that they know the difference between right and wrong, and they know the consequences of doing wrong and doing right. Well, here's the third verse about maturity. Colossians 2:6-7. Therefore, Paul says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted up and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I love that, don't you? Thanksgiving is almost here, guys. As a matter of fact, we are so excited about our annual Thanksgiving event. If you need a Thanksgiving meal, we have one ready for you. And if you will call the church, I will have a meal for four people, and I'll give it to you for free, okay? If you call 757-421-7500, Hickory Ridge Community Church, and just tell whoever answers the phone that you want to get a free meal that Pastor Calvin Corbett mentioned on the radio, we will put your name on the list, and you can come. We'll let you know when you can come and get your free meal. It's going to have everything that you need to prepare a dinner for four people, okay? That's our gift to you. So Paul says, as we mature in our relationship with Christ, as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord, we walk in him and we're built up in him. And as we're established in this faith, we are abounding with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving equals growing up. Number four, Colossians 3:9-10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off that old self with its practices and you've put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So here we discovered that growing up means that I'm growing in truthfulness. I am more honest. I am more filled with integrity in my truthfulness towards others and even toward my truthfulness about myself. Number five, Hebrews 5:12-13. For though by this time, Paul says, you ought to be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God. This verse is kind of sad, right? Paul is looking out and he's saying, you know, you guys should be further along than you are. You should be telling people how to live the Christian life. Instead, you need somebody to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Number six, Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washing and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment. Now, this is a powerful passage here where we discover that as you mature in the Lord, you get past certain things and you don't get hung up on certain things and you grow past the elementary doctrines of our faith. You realize that you don't need to get hung up on these peripheral things. There's more important things that you have to focus on, and that is the resurrection of Christ, the eternal judgment of those who don't know Christ. Number seven, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, so put away malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up unto salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So here we see growth, maturity equals integrity, and growing up and getting rid of deceit, getting rid of hypocrisy, eliminating envy and slander. These are indicators that you are still an infant. You're still immature. You know, as you think about that, this is a powerful thing that we can see as an indication of where somebody is spiritually. If you're filled with malice towards somebody, you're in essence saying, I'm a baby Christian. I'm immature. If you're driven by hypocrisy, you're basically saying, I'm immature. If you slander people, you're saying, I'm immature. I'm an infant. I need spiritual milk. I've not grown up in my salvation. I've not even tasted that the Lord is good. Well, number eight, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Peter says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Peter is saying this, that one of the ways that you know that you're growing is that you're no longer carried away by lawless people. You know, there's a certain remnant of people that have dropped out of church. I was reading a statistic that said, with the onset of the coronavirus, that 25% of those who were attending church, who were faithful in attending church, have dropped out, and they do not intend to come back. Why is that? Because they don't have that stability. They have lost that stability. You think about people that get discouraged. I read the story of a pastor who was leading a large congregation, and he fell morally, and after his fall, 3,500 people dropped out of his church. Not that it was his church, it belonged to the Lord. But these people saw a pastor that defaulted and they scattered. You know, when you think about growing up, maybe you remember when your kids were growing up and we did this. We used to mark on the wall their growth. We'd have them lean against the wall and we'd put a pencil mark and then we'd put the child's date and age, the date that we marked it, and then the age of the child. And the next year we do it again. And you can see, wow, you grew an inch this year. You see, growth was not noticed every day. It was noticed in the course of a year. You see, the marks on the wall showed the child's growth. What if I stood up against the wall of the Lord and he measured my growth year by year? What would it look like? Would my life have any absolute proof of spiritual growth? So here's our prayer. God, help us to grow up to be more like Jesus. Here are some things that I think can really help you to grow up to be more like Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, as we're going to be growing up to be more like Jesus, the mindset is this: I haven't arrived, but I can become mature by continuing my pursuit. That is one of the marks of maturity. I have this tenacity about me. I'm going to continue this pursuit. Philippians 3:12 says this, not that I have already attained all this, or I've already been made perfect, but I press on, and I take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Continue to press on. You know, when you think about quitting, you know what quitting displays? Quitting says, I'm immature. You remember when you were a kid, you owned a football. If the game didn't go the way you wanted it, it says, my football, I'm taking it, I'm leaving. What you're in essence saying is, I'm a baby. If things don't go my way, I quit. You know, quitting makes my maturity habit-forming. That's why I instilled in my children when they were growing up. I said, I want you to be involved in sports, and I want you to be involved in extracurricular activities. I'm all about it. And I would tell them, if you sign up for baseball or for football or whatever sport you sign up with or whatever you sign up for, I said, you're going to complete the season. I remember one year my son signed up to play football, and I said, man, I don't think football is your sport, man. He said, well, Dad, I want to play football. I said, okay, you can sign up to play football. But here's the deal. When you sign up, you're going to sign up for the whole season. I said, I'm not raising a quitter. You're going to be faithful to that team. You're going to go up and you're going to go to practice every day. When you don't feel like going to practice, you're going to go to practice. You're not going to quit the team. You're going to stay with the team the whole season. Well, halfway through the season, I said, I want to quit, Dad. I don't want to go back to practice anymore. They're not playing me that much, and they don't even need me. I won't even be missed on the team. I said, you're not going to quit. And I told him, quitting becomes habit-forming. So I made him stay in there the whole season. And I'm so happy that he's learned to grow. You know, Lance Armstrong said that pain is temporary, but quitting lasts forever. If you're going to grow up in the Lord, you must never quit. Paul says, if you're going to grow up in the Lord, you must also forget some things. You got to forget your past. Philippians 3:12, Paul says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. Elizabeth Elliot said this, maturity is the willingness to bear uncertainty and to carry within oneself unanswered questions. When I forget the past, I am moving on ahead, even though I am uncertain about the future. I'm not going to get caught up in the past, even though I may have some unanswered questions, I am moving on. You see, dwelling on the past will actually feed my immaturity. Have you ever noticed about thinking about the past? You know, people said the good old days, right? Those were the good old days, right? You know, they weren't that good. But when we think back of them, they are actually become better than they really were. When you think about dwelling on the past, it will feed your immaturity. Today's selfishness is tomorrow's self-pity. Don't get hung up in that trap. Hebrews 5:14 says that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained. How is it trained? By constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Listen, if you cannot eradicate evil from your mind, you will never grow to have this practice to distinguish good from evil. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions and he sees his brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? You see, part of this growing up process is realizing that it's bigger than me, and I show that it's bigger than me by being trained to practice between good and evil, and also to help a brother or sister that is in need. Paul talked about claiming that prize. He says, I press on toward the goal, to the prize for which God has called me heavenlyward in Christ Jesus. As you think about moving ahead, as you think about growing, I want to encourage you to be more like Christ every day. According to a researcher, there are many people in our society who have bought into a myth about family, have brought into a myth about divorce. Patrick Kimport writes a book, Wounds of Divorce Linger Past Childhood. In this particular book, he chronicles the fact, along with another author, that our society has bought into a myth that there can be a good divorce. But after that first national study of the inner lives of children of divorce, they concluded that even young people who grew up in so-called a good divorce setting, one in which their parents got along reasonably well and stayed involved in their lives, they still suffered many negative effects. For example, twice as many children of divorce said they felt like a different person with each of the parents. More than three times as many agreed with the statement, I was alone a lot as a child. Seven times as many strongly agreed with that statement. Two-thirds of the kids from intact families went to a parent when they needed comfort. Only one-third of the children of divorce did the same. They were more likely to turn to friends and siblings. What is this study showing us? We are teaching our children not to be in a solid, healthy relationship. And even if it's a good divorce, two-thirds of those kids are going to their friends or their siblings instead of to their parents if they're coming from a divorced home. 64% say life was stressful in their family, compared with 25% for intact families. In other words, intact families are more secure, and they see the security within, even if it's not a great marriage, that a marriage that has stayed together, where 64% say life was stressful in a family that went through divorce. Three times as many say they love their mom, but don't respect her. Four times as many say they love their father, but don't respect him. In other words, there's this higher rate of disrespect for mom and dad, even if it is a quote-unquote good divorce. Over 50% of young adults from divorced families say that family life after divorce was stressful, as compared to 6% from happy marriages and 35% from even unhappy low-conflict marriages. When you think about the ravages of divorce, the Bible is very clear that God hates divorce. Now, why is there such a high rate of divorce? The reason there's a high rate of divorce is because there's a high rate of immaturity. Those who even went through a good divorce, those families, those children who went through a good divorce, 53% say they experienced many losses in their lives, as compared to 37% from happily married families and 42% even from unhappy and low-conflict marriages. So here's the summary of this particular study. The idea that a good divorce is good for children is popular, but we find that while it's amicable or good to have a divorce, if you can have a divorce versus a bad divorce, it is inaccurate and misleading to describe the children's experience as good. When you think about going through and getting through difficult times in life, ignorance can keep me immature. In Acts chapter 17, we discover that the Berean believers, the Berean Jews, were much more noble in their character than the Thessalonians because they received the message with great eagerness and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. You see, denial will slow our maturity. We are told in Proverbs 9:6 that we should lay aside immaturity, we should live and we should walk in the way of insight. Hebrews 12:1 reminds us that we are circled by a great cloud of witness. We should put off every weight and every sin that so easily besets us, and we should be running in a way which is marked out for us with the mindset that we're going to make it through to the end. You know, a person who is born again starts a brand new life, similar to that of a newborn infant. There are seven rules that promote good health in babies that can be adapted and applied to the Christian's spiritual growth. Rule number one is daily food. Take in that pure milk of the word through daily devotions, through daily study and meditation. Number two, healthy babies get a lot of fresh air. Pray often or you will faint. Prayer is that oxygen of the soul, that fresh air for the soul. Number three, as you grow up, you want to physically exercise regularly. Put into practice what you can learn in God's word. A baby needs adequate rest. As followers of Christ, as we grow up, we rely on God at all times in simple faith. You know, babies need clean surroundings. I remember when we had our first baby, my wife was a fanatic about this whole matter of having everything cleaned. She was a clean fanatic. Babies need clean surroundings. You know what believers do too? We're told to avoid evil company. Whatever will weaken us spiritually, we should avoid it. You know what else babies need? Babies need loving care. You know, you ought to be part of a church where you can benefit from the pastor's teaching and from Christian fellowship. And then number seven, babies need periodic checkups. A regular exam, once a year to check their spiritual health. We need to do the same thing. You know, I want you to know that as you listen to this message, you're receiving this message from somebody who hasn't arrived. but I'm striving to become more and more like Christ. That is my hope for you today, that each day you become more and more like Christ, that you will have the opportunity to see God work in your life, have that opportunity to grow in your faith. Thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. I want to pray that God will allow you to grow strong in your faith. Lord, we need your help to be conformed to the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to grow strong in our faith. Help us to walk humbly, realizing that you are the one that's going to bring this strength to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.